beautiful day for a podcast. This is Joe from Northeast Iowa, and today's episode of the Ivy Envy podcast is brought to you by proud Patreon supporters like me. Go Cubs!
Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Ivy Envy podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined through a Google Plus Hangout with the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
Hey, it's Kurt.
If you go to ivyenvy.com/live on Sunday evenings at 8:30 p.m. Central, you can watch these podcast recordings live as they are happening. There's also a chat to log into so you can talk with other listeners. And if you have our iOS app and receive push notifications from us, we will typically send out a push notification when we're going live, and you can actually watch directly on your iOS device. And to update the Android listeners, the app has been submitted, and we're just waiting now. If you have an iOS device and you've not downloaded the app yet, it's free. It has lots of cool features. Not only can you listen to our podcast episodes, but you can call in and leave voicemails, and we will play those at the end of the show. You can connect to our Facebook and Twitter on there, and you can email us directly in the app. So it's free. Download it in the iOS App Store, or you can go to ivmv.com/iOS from your device, and it will take you directly there. Again, we have a lot of listener questions this week, and the majority of this episode will be discussing those. But let's first kind of look at this road trip that the Cubs just wrapped up. They took 2 of 3 from the Padres and then lost 2 of 3 to the D-backs. So I guess in my opinion, if you play 500 on the road, if you have a road trip and you go 3-3, it's not the end of the world. It would have been really nice to win today and kind of keep that Cardinals lead. It was 2.5 games, right? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So it would have been nice to keep it at that. But
yeah, so the losing 2 of 3.
I didn't see the score, but I assume that means the Cardinals won today.
They did, yeah.
But losing 2 of 3 to the Diamondbacks is a little bit of a damper.
Yeah, because this could have easily been a 5-1 road trip. I think that's the hardest part. I totally agree with you, Corey. 3-3 is a pretty good West Coast road trip, but when it was so close to at least 4-2, but potentially 5-1 if they'd had a little more offense today. But overall, you can't be too disappointed.
Yeah, yeah. I have to admit, I was not able to watch the Cubs much this week. Andy, you and I were in Chicago for a podcasting conference this weekend. I literally did not see any of the Diamondbacks series, so I feel kind of blind talking. I mean, obviously I kind of knew what was going on, and I know you guys get a chuckle out of me saying that I was tracking things, but I was in fact tracking the games.
Yeah, I watched a fair amount this weekend, but my sort of default is, like, even on a weekend I have a hard time staying up late because I'm old. But you know, I watch as much as I could, and then, like, once, you know, 11 o'clock rolled around, I'd put it on my phone and listen to the audio and just basically fall asleep. So
yeah, that's what
I watched as much as I could. But
yeah, same here. I watched some of Friday and some of today's game, but this weekend made me pretty tired, but
yeah, made me feel real old.
But basically what it boils down to is Corey and I weren't really able to pay attention to Saturday's game, which was that was the most entertaining and exciting game of the series. And so we sort of missed that one completely.
Yeah. I mean, even though we were around when it was on, but we were in a bar in Chicago and the Blackhawks were playing in the playoffs. So obviously that's what we wanted to watch. And the bars that we were in, that's what they wanted to watch.
Like one of their TVs though was on something ridiculous. Like we could have, like, now that I think about it, we could have been like, hey, can you put the Cubs on that TV where they're playing some garbage? I can't remember what they were playing.
Well, they were playing that NBA game on one TV, but there was somebody sitting over there watching it.
Oh, okay.
So, all right.
It's always that guy.
I know.
That guy.
TV.
I really kind of dug that bar though. I'd like to go back I don't know. It was a Greek bar. I kind of liked it.
Konak, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I just liked it because I had already had a few beers before we got there. So I don't know.
Well, I like that the guy brought Beth. She ordered like this particular IPA, and he was like, "Well, it's not the one you ordered, but it's an IPA." It's just like he didn't know anything about anything. He's just like, "Oh, well, I found an IPA for you, so I hope it's good."
I kind of forgot about that. He had great hair, though.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Oh boy, well, that's good to know.
So, I guess let's kind of talk about what even the midweek episode that Andy, you and I did. We did not really talk about the Padres series very much, just because there had only been one game completed. Is there anything you guys want to talk about this last week in Cubs baseball before we move on to listener questions?
Well, yeah, I do.
I got a couple. All right,
you
things
go ahead and go first.
Talk about.
Go ahead and go first.
I mean, I don't have anything particular about the Padres series, but it is good to see, like, I think it was in the Padres series where Jason Hamill was super dominant. And then, mostly I wanted to comment on Friday's game, which we haven't talked about yet. Well, yeah, and Friday was tough because, went into extras and then they scored two in the 10th. And that's when I started to sort of doze off. And I thought, oh, they scored two. I think this should be pretty solid. They can close out the bottom of the 10th. And then Rondon gave up the hits and the runs in the bottom of the 10th. And it was kind of hard to swallow because Lester had gone like seven, I think. And, the bullpen was looking like you'd use, a couple of guys. Even in the extra innings, you'd just use a couple of guys and get out of it. But then, Rondon blew the save, which I'm not super, upset about, because it's going to happen from time to time. But then you go on and you use Mott, Russell, Wood, and Roskopf and go into the I think it ended in the 13th, and then you lose the game. So that makes it a little tough. But so that was a hard like reminder of what we're used to. Like the Cubs go into extras, they go ahead, they blow the save, and then they lose in further extra innings. So that was kind of a taste of years past.
Right.
And thankfully, we haven't had to do that a lot this year.
You don't care for a little taste of years past?
No, not really. Blown saves and extra inning losses.
Sometimes I dig a little taste.
I didn't like that taste, especially when it ended. Because what happened was my son, who's a bit of a restless sleeper, he's a three-year-old, he had come into our room, looking for some love trouble. At like 1 a.m.
Oh, I thought you were going to say trouble.
No, well, probably that too, but he'd basically just want somebody to send him back to bed. But so I'm awake at 1 a.m. I'm like, oh, I didn't see the end of the game, so I'll check. And I check at 1 a.m. and it's still going, and then they lose. So that was a hard awakening from a dead sleep.
Yeah. One thing that was kind of weird on Friday night was we got to our hotel in Chicago, and I'm like, oh cool, I'm in Chicago, I can definitely watch a game now, because I'm like, I'm in their market, cool. No, it was not on any stand. Like, I think it was a CSN, and the hotel we were staying in didn't have CSN, so I was like, god damn, I'm ridiculous. In Chicago and I still can't watch the Cubs.
Oh man. That's crazy. Yeah, that was that was the toughest loss, but for me to watch, I guess. And then today was a little bit frustrating, but I mean, they kind of lost today a little more fair and square. They just didn't score any runs.
Yeah.
Or enough runs, I should say.
Yeah. I want to take a second to talk about Kyle Hendricks. Man, what a fantastic game he pitched against the Padres. A complete game shutout. He only allowed 5 hits. He struck out 7 and didn't walk anybody. The production from the back end of the rotation has not been great. But then this week we saw 2 good performances by Hendricks and Wada.
Right. I was going to bring up Wada, and that's a huge question mark. Just with Travis Wood not really getting the job done in his spot in the rotation, and then so Wada comes in there and he had a pretty great outing. I mean, the dude struck out 9 batters and only 4.2 innings pitched. He didn't have a deep run into that game, but my goodness, 9 strikeouts and 2 earned runs given up.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be typical of what we see out of Wada, where he looks good for not. He's not going to go deep into games, let's just say that. I mean, he might once in a while, but for the most part, he's probably going to go 5.
Right.
And it's going to be up to the bullpen, but that's okay for a fifth starter. But then, yeah, when you get like a you know, complete game shutout out of your number four guy, when your bullpen's been used, like I just talked about in extras, like that's pretty money. I mean, he looked really good too. Like he looked, compared to his other starts this year, man, that was impressive.
Restoring our faith in him, I think a lot of people were doubters up until that game. So I think that was a very important game for Hendricks.
Yeah. And he even said afterwards, like, he's like, I forget what his quote was, but he said something about, like, I don't want to say that I needed that, but I needed that, or something like that.
Well, and the team needed it. The pitching staff needed it. The bullpen needed it, you know, with the bullpen kind of being on the ropes at times. And you know, one of those reasons is from being overused, especially when the back end of the rotation is pitching. It was really nice to see him pitch complete game, and he was efficient. He threw something like 108 pitches or something like that. And before that game, the deepest he had gone in an outing was six innings, but most of them were five innings or five and a third innings. So really a pleasant surprise. I mean, if you would have told me that Hendricks was going to throw a complete game shutout, I wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah, it's been a while since that's happened too.
So to have those two games in a row, the Wada game and the Hendricks game, that was making us feel pretty good. And then Friday's loss was so deflating. You know, after the Cubs go up in the 10th inning and then Goldschmidt comes up and hits that two-run homer, I was watching that game, and, man, that was rough. But then the great thing, though, was that Saturday's game was so awesome following closely on the heels of that deflating Friday night loss. And that was the one where Rizzo hit the three-run homer in the ninth inning.
And had six RBI total.
Six RBI. Man, that's...
Yeah. And I think that's kind of another encouraging thing is, like, you know, they came off that was a tough loss on Friday, I think, for any team. And then to come back on Saturday and basically, like, it didn't even happen. You know, I think that's kind of a difference to me in this team is that they don't carry over.
Well, you know what? The short memory thing is something that people are... It's great. I think it's awesome. But, of course, some, like, internet muscle flexors are taking them to task for it as, you know, they post pictures of themselves on Instagram having fun the night after a tough loss.
Yeah.
But I think that's actually a good thing, awesome. You know, that they're able to have a short memory and they're able to get back at it the next day with a, you know, fresh outlook.
And I realize that we're still in May, but, you know, one of my things going into the season, and I talked a lot about it on here, is that I really wanted to see how this team responded to losing streaks and responded to kind of ugly losses and things like that. And man, it just doesn't, I'm kind of thinking that they're a team that is not affected by that type of stuff. It seems like they're getting out, you know, if they lose an ugly game or they lose a couple games in a row, they, like you said, they bounce back quick. And that's a really good sign.
The confidence and the camaraderie is to the point where they seem fairly unsinkable. I mean, as far as their spirits and their outlook and just general self-efficacy.
Right, which I think it's important to remember, too, that could be happening because that could be a sign of good coaching, not just to keep their heads in the right place, but also to be able to make the adjustments necessary. Like, okay, this team has figured this out on us, and this is what they're doing, and here's what we need to do to fix it. I mean, there could be a lot of that tape room and that type of stuff going on, too, to kind of keep those losing streaks from extending longer.
Yeah, and I think you just have to keep giving more and more credit to Rizzo, too. Like, you know, that Friday loss was hard, and he single-handedly stepped up in Saturday's game and just carried him to the win. I mean, six RBI, that's just crazy. So it's nice to see, like, a guy like Rizzo, who's now, like, he's not a veteran yet necessarily, but he pretty much is. Like, he's kind of your veteran leader. He's not that old, but he's done it, and he keeps stepping up, and that's amazing. Like, this guy is really good, and I hope people stop and appreciate how great the start of this season is for him.
Yeah.
This is really, really amazing. And, you know, so, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of in awe. Like, I keep hopping favorite players, but right now he's
and we're favorite. Far too old to have favorite players, but
oh no, not at all. I love that guy. if he came like down the line and I was getting autographs, I'd probably act like a 5-year old. Just be like, or 12-year old maybe. Just yeah, he's awesome.
Also, Chris Coughlin, we talked about it about him on last week's episode, but his batting average got down to 194 in that last series with Pittsburgh. And if you've watched Coughlin, you've been able to see that he's had some bad luck and some really well hit balls that made it to the warning track in cooler spring weather. And then he goes out to a pitcher's ballpark in San Diego and hits two home runs in one game. But yeah, his batting average is back up over the Mendoza line. Before today's game, it was at 203. And
the last 7 days, he's been hitting 267.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not great, but Coughlin kind of seems like one of those players that could heat up and really get on a roll. I mean, especially with him hitting those warning track shots early in the season. Right. I mean, he was like kind of on a tear with those.
Yeah.
they led to outs.
His BABIP in the last 28 days, 189.
Right. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, because he seems like one of those players that really could heat up, get on a roll. And then with him being an older player, you'd hope that he's one of those guys that could do it if and when the younger players are cold. And yeah, like I just said, I want to see how this team reacts to losing streaks and those situations where the bats are just cold. And I think that Coughlin really could be one of those players that kind of steps up in those situations.
Sure.
Yeah. But just to play devil's advocate, I think there is another side of the argument where a lot of those warning track shots and a lot of those fly ball outs where some people would criticize him as saying, like, you're trying to be that power hitter that you're not, and he's not driving the ball, and he's trying to hit it out. And it's nice to see that, you know, the home runs have come lately. He had a 2-home run game
right
last
so,
week.
So I think
in the Padres series.
Doesn't he have, like, 7 right now, I think?
6 or 7.
And then
six.
I think... Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, like, I don't know. It's easy.
Right, there's enough of that up on the team.
Yeah, and I think it's probably people overanalyzing, but yeah, I think he's definitely a great like extra piece. I think he's like you said, he could heat up and
right. Well, and I mean, even like I guess what I'm trying to say is that like I really kind of like him, and I think that even though he doesn't have a celebrated career or anything like that, you know, I mean, he was kind of a disappointment for a while. I think he does have, you know, he is kind of a veteran. And so I guess like what I'm saying is I kind of hope that he can play that role. And it seems like he's the type of player that maybe could do it. And also he seems like the type of guy that, I mean, let's say later in the season, they decide, you know what, Schwarber's not going to stick at catcher. Let's bring him up. He can play left field. Like Coughlin seems like one of those guys that can come off the bench. Like he, mm-hmm. I don't know. I understand that that's hard for any player to do, to come off of the bench to pinch hit, but it seems like maybe he would be well served in that role down the road. I mean, I don't know. I'm just babbling.
No, I think
you're forgetting about the sickest player is when he comes back from injury.
That's true.
Player.
Anything else you guys want to talk about with this last week? I mean, we're going to obviously probably touch on a few other things as right. we go through these, but
yeah, I think that's it for me.
Move on to the question. Okay.
All right. So the first one here comes from Dawn, and she says, I actually almost had the opportunity to meet up with Dawn today. We stopped in her town for Chipotle on the way back from Chicago, and she missed my tweet.
You missed my tweet.
Says, can you guys talk a little about your thoughts on Pedro Strop? Is he overworked, doing something different, just cursed by bad luck? I'm not as confident with him on the mound lately. And I should mention that Dawn sent this in earlier in the week. I think she sent it in before our midweek episode. So,
yeah, I did a little bit of digging. I don't know if I'm going to have a real good answer for you. But I'll just start with saying, like, I do like Strope. I think he's just kind of streaky, and that, I think that's kind of how bullpen arms tend to be. And like Corey just pointed out, this is, came in early, but he has been really good in his last three appearances, where he had no hits and no runs. So he's kind of back to his old self. But yeah, you could definitely make the overuse argument because he's appeared in 23 games, which is, you know, leading the major leagues. So yeah, it'd be hard to argue with that point. I think sort of trying to figure out what's different. I looked at Fangraphs and they have a really good breakdown of pitch type, pitch count. And the biggest thing that stood out is the fact that he's really pushing the slider. He used to be kind of a 60% fastball guy, and now he's sort of 50-50. It's actually 47% fastball and above 50% slider. And I think what that points out, and I've read there's a good post on Bleacher Nation about it, but you know, really, I think that points to less confidence in the fastball as opposed to the slider's good. And he's even kind of pointed it out in post games that the fastball movement isn't what it used to be. And I don't know. I think he'll find it. His velocity's still there. I don't know. I'm not worried yet. His whip is still really good.
Well, batters are only hitting 155 off of him.
Right.
And there's sort of a little bit of discrepancy between his FIP and his ERA. So,
yeah, he's just sort of giving up every once in a while. He's kind of getting hit around. So he's had like four bad outings, and especially in the St. Louis series when he gave up three runs, like he really got lit up. And it's like if you removed two of those bad outings, right, he'd look really, really good on paper. And I think he still looks good. But yeah, he's going to be a little streaky. He's going to have a couple bad outings here and there.
And I think that kind of goes with that role. You know, I think a lot of pitchers in that position, either the closer or the setup guy, when they have a bad game, it really stands out because they're typically in the game for an inning or less, you know. And, like, you know, he had those few rough games earlier in the month, both with the Cardinals and the Brewers, and it just stands out, you know. And he also will pitch six or seven games in a row where he looks really good. So
yeah, it's almost like you kind of like wonder, like, what would you rather have, like a guy who can go, and this kind of is what he's been doing, is like go four or five starts where he's just lights out, shut down, no runs, no hits, and then you have a bad, really bad outing where he gives up three, or a guy who just consistently bad where he's like walking guys, he's giving up a lot of hits, or, you know, you're in out of a bullpen, you're going to take that
true
streakiness.
Yeah. At DJW4177 on Twitter says, the draft is coming up. What number do the Cubs pick? I don't know anything about prospects, but do they draft another bat or power arm?
I think their mode of operation is going to still be at number nine to pick the best player available. But still, I feel like they should be stocking up on pitching at this point.
Yeah.
That
seems about right. I mean, they do.
But Kurt, you had some information about those basic questions.
A couple of notes is that, like, the last couple of years, the Cubs have been out, essentially, of the international signings because of their penalties. In 2013, when they signed
Jimenez and Torres, Gleyber Torres.
Yep. So, yeah, they were pretty much out of the running the last couple of years. Well, 2015, they're back in the running. And so the thing with the international draft is, even though you can't sign the young guys until July 2nd, you can still kind of make handshake deals before that point. So they kind of know where they stand with these international guys. So what they do in the international market is going to affect what they do in the draft, which is the draft comes before the international signing. So the draft starts June 8th and the international signings are July 2nd. So that's going to affect, like, if you pick up a huge bat in international signings, you might be more inclined to draft pitching.
Although a lot of those guys that are signed are like 16. So, I mean,
sure, but there is I don't know what his name is, but there's a 20-year-old Cuban who the Cubs are linked to, who's an outfielder.
Right, yeah.
You know, if you pick up a guy like that, you know, it could change your draft. But I, like Andy said, I think best player available is pretty typical. But according to MLB trade rumors that Theo was actually just at a UCLA game this weekend, watching James Caprillion. I'm saying that wrong, but he's a pitching prospect out of UCLA.
Yeah, so, I mean, drafting a pitching arm is something that might be having an immediate impact. You know, a college
especially
arm.
Especially a college
pitcher. Admittedly, I'm not much of a draft guy. I think...
You prefer bottles or cans?
Yes.
Nailed it.
I would think if the Cubs want to draft someone to impact the team immediately, then they might go with somebody like a college arm or a college bat. I think if they're looking at organizational depth and they want to start looking at what happens 4 to 5 years from now, then I think they might have a different philosophy than that. I mean, I think you just do go with best whoever your scouts say this player projects to this, you know, is most they're confident in that player turning out to what they think they might be. But it just seems like this front office has shown that they're very good at identifying talent, mm-hmm. and drafting and being smart with how they use certain draft picks. And we've all seen the fruits of that. And if you look at what this front office has done while they're with since they've been with the Cubs, I think things look pretty solid. So,
yeah, don't be surprised if you have like a what the hell moment.
Right. I mean, Kyle Schwarber was.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, they draft Schwarber at, what, was he four with a fourth pick? And it's like, what the hell are they doing? And it's like, you sign him totally under the slot value, and then he's amazing. Like, he's a great hitter.
And it gives you money.
Great scouting and great.
And it gives you money then to use. You know, they were able to get some of those, guys a couple in the next few rounds that probably wouldn't have been able to be signed. They wouldn't have been signed if they didn't have that extra money to play with.
And I think it's becoming more and more clear that like elite pitchers are just so much riskier, and it's better to just stock up on pitching quantity than quality, and eventually somebody will break out.
Right.
I think that's the approach they're taking versus taking the elite arms high in the draft.
Yeah. The next questions here, two of them on the same topic. Aaron, who is at AA Milliken, says, I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on Addison Russell's loose bat grip on the next episode. I do like it that he tagged mentioned Addison Russell. So
you can see.
So you can see that people are talking about his loose bat grip. And then Justin on Facebook says, how many more bats will Russell throw into the stands this season? 5? He's got to be leading the league.
Well, I think the Cubs as a whole have to be leading because Soler did it again today. I think that's it's kind of scary. I think it's got to be embarrassing for them to do it. But
you can kind of tell in their body language every time it happens that they feel fairly embarrassed by it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Montero have one this week too? Or maybe it was last week. Didn't he throw one and he you could tell he was really scared, and then the bat bounced off an empty chair. It just happened to be empty. I think that was at Wrigley, I think. So it must have been the week before.
But I think most hitting coaches do tell, part of their coaching is to not squeeze the bat, to just kind of keep it held lightly, in your hands and your fingers, and that way your muscles are ready to go quickly and fast, because if you're already tight, then you're already slowing down, you're already slowing down muscles firing and being quick.
Right. Yeah. I think he's going to throw quite a few.
Yeah, he's on a breakneck pace. It's like Russell throwing bats and Rizzo hit by pitch. Right. That's what we're tracking this year.
It was incredible. What game was it? It must have been. Was it during the San Diego series? Maybe it was during our hangout on Thursday night with the Patreon folks, where Rizzo swung at a pitch, struck out, and it still hit him. He gets hit even on strikeouts. Chris says, I'd like to know why I've missed every single Chris Bryant home run. For one reason or another, driving, adult stuff, whatever, When will this curse end? Today, perhaps. And I'm kind of curious what Chris means by adult stuff.
I was just going to say that. What's the adult stuff?
But I don't know. I mean, maybe missing it for adult stuff is better than watching a Chris Bryan home run. I don't know.
I disagree. I've done a lot of adult stuff in my day.
Adult stuff.
And I feel like every time I've seen a Chris Bryan home run, it's a little bit better than the adult stuff So I'd say my advice to Chris would be cut down a little bit on the adult stuff and watch a little bit more of the Cubs games if you can.
Or just in the middle, just ask, like, hey, hold on one sec.
Watch this. Right, Brian's up. or driving. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I understand that it is fun to watch. And to be honest, I've missed quite a few of them, too. I've gone back to obviously watch them. Because this year I've been listening to a lot more games on the radio. And so I've heard Pat Hughes call a lot of those home runs, and I would assume Coom Dog probably called one, but who knows, because
he agreed with Pat's call.
Right. That ball, signs of the year. It's a home run.
Yeah, this ball's got a chance. Gone. I'd have to agree with that, Pat.
It definitely is gone.
Oh man. Yeah, so good luck, Chris. I hope you get to see a Chris Bryant home run.
If you go a whole season without seeing one, then...
You're doing too much adult stuff.
Yeah, you've got other issues.
Oh, man.
Too much adult stuff. All right.
Moving on. Justin says, keep talking bullpen, which we kind of have so far. Nice to have Grimm back. Also, the rumors, Baez and Vogelbach on the block and adding Soriano. Catch me up on why you all dislike Coomer. That was good timing.
We just touched on that one, too.
Yeah, I guess we kind of...
Well, let's start with Coom Dog and what our issue is.
You know, we hit on this, the last Sunday episode, too?
Yeah.
But it's basically like we don't dislike him as a person. It's just that his tics and the fact that whatever WBBM is doing with him calling play-by-play is just dumb. I don't totally dislike him, but every time I have to agree, it's like, yeah, nails on the chalkboard.
I hear you. I really want to, cause I disliked Moreland so much, but Coom Dog is getting to that level of it's really hard for me to listen to. I mean,
I'm willing to kind of cut him some slack and think that he could improve and kind of cut down on some of these ticks and these.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I mean, I texted you guys one of its quotes today after the game, didn't I? Let me see what it
yeah,
says.
Yeah, you did.
If he hadn't let Goldschmidt hit home runs, it could have been a different outing. Yeah, probably. Wow. Not only an outing, but an outcome.
I think I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm still kind of like right down the middle on him. Like he's kind of annoying me, but I still don't dislike him as much as I liked disliked Moreland.
Right. And I think if he could kind of cut down on the I would have to agree comments, and if he never did play by play, then I think I would like him a lot more. If he just take that out of his vocabulary and then don't let him sit in that seat.
And that's kind of what I think is like, that's not his fault, because
you're right.
Be a producer decision, and that's just dumb.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't get it. And the fact we've talked about this. Why is Pat still in there? If Coom Dog was doing it with Brody, then it would make sense.
Yeah. Pat takes his shit break at like, you know, the sixth inning or whatever, and that's fine. But like when he's calling play by play in like the fifth and fourth, it just doesn't make any sense
weird
at all. And then Pat chimes in and you're like, why are you not calling play by play if you're there?
Which I thought it was kind of, you know, in spring training, like Andy, when you and I got to be in the booth in engineering for that one game, I thought it was kind of interesting to see Len and Mick taking turns doing play by play in color. I thought that was kind of interesting to watch.
Yeah.
But this isn't Pat Hughes. If he is on mic, should be doing play by play.
Yes.
No one else. If Pat Hughes is there, No one else should be doing play-by-play.
Absolutely.
Still, I mean, I could see Pat doing a Vin Scully type broadcast. Can you guys?
Love that. I would love it.
So
I would probably only listen to audio, and I really like Len and JD, but I would probably choose Pat single over that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say something that'll probably fire you up, Kurt, and probably some of our listeners. I'm not as big of a fan of Pat Hughes as I was like a couple years ago. There's a couple things about him that are kind of starting to rub me the wrong way too.
Oh my gosh.
But very, 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 very minor. I mean, like,
but to me, like, you can't take a Hall of Fame broadcaster and judge him in the last 2 years.
You're right. You're right. And honestly, I think a lot of it is just kind of my, like, me not really being satisfied with the broadcast as a whole right now. I think that's part of it. To me, it doesn't feel like Hughes is like completely comfortable in this situation with a new, I don't know. It feels different to me.
Yeah. And he seems kind of like he's an old school guy, and I bet like new partners every couple of years.
Right.
And
a lot of turnover,
losing Sano and then going to a new network. Like, you just never know what that's doing to him, but
yeah.
Yeah.
He has to keep saying like he won't strike out with whatever bank that is. I mean,
oh yeah, I bet that pisses him off. Like it's like best second bank or something like that. It's not even a good bank name. It's like, come on over to the second best bank. I don't remember what the name of it is, but anyways.
Okay, so back to Justin's question about Baez and Vogelbach on the trading block and adding Soriano. Any thoughts on that, guys?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything that says that if officially those guys are on the block, but I think that you could make the conclusion that, sorry, I just got a ding ding. Threw me off. But Baez and Vogelbach were drafted under the previous, you know, front office. So right. You could make the argument that maybe they're not as highly thought of, and so maybe they're shopped.
Well, and they're kind of blocked in their positions or ideal positions.
And that's something to pay attention to, are the players who are impact bats or impact players, and they're blocked at the big league level, because that is starting to become a prescient issue for the Cubs now. So if they're going to move anybody, it's probably going to be the players that are blocked.
Jeremy in the chat points out that it's Gold Coast Bank. And he says it has a .net web address. That's why he doesn't trust them.
It should be Commerce, right? Like, why is it net? That doesn't make any sense.
Not at all. But anyway, and then the Soriano thing, like, yeah, the Cubs are connected in rumors, but...
And why wouldn't they be? I mean, with the guy's track record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
A guy that has 207 career saves.
And he's a free agent,
right? And what, he's 34 or 35 right now. He's got to have a little bit left in the tank, I would imagine.
Oscar says, so stoked for this season. Do you see them making a move later for another pitcher if we make a serious run for the playoffs?
Yeah,
I think it's entirely possible. I don't think this is a front office that sits on their hands. They're active. And I think if the Cubs are in the thick of it, they're going to make a push. And pitching is probably the area that is in most need of just a little bit of a boost.
Right.
But we've kind of touched on this before. I don't see it being a rental. It's not going to be a rental pitcher, I don't think. Like, it's not going to be a guy who's a free agent at the end of the year. I think it's going to be somebody that, you know, they've got some control.
Over the time period that they're going to have these young hitters.
Yeah. Like, you're probably looking at a couple years of control on a guy that you're trading for.
Right. I can't see them giving up a prospect of value for
a Nomar Garcia Parra contract or whatever.
Yeah. Just a player that like is going to be a free agent at the end of this year. Unless they're really confident that they could work out a deal to bring that player back next year and maybe at a good price and everything.
And even then, you never make that trade.
Right.
Look at John Lester.
Yeah, right. Derek says, I would like to know what your take is on the on what temperature it needs to be for Joe Madden to go without a hoodie. I feel like I've seen him wearing it even when it's over 70. Well, he's he came from Tampa, Tampa. Right, yeah. It's 70's cold down there in Tampa. I don't know. I guess, I that's kind of funny he says that because it's one of those things, I guess, this time of year, I'm just so used to seeing it that it didn't really occur to me. But I don't think he'll be wearing it in July or August, if that's what you're worried about.
It's a nice looking hoodie, too.
And it is sharp.
Cut those sleeves off like Belichick or something. We should be all right.
Cut off sleeve
if he
hoodie.
Does that, yeah. I'm no longer a fan.
Oh, man. Jordan says, am I the only one surprised Javier Baez wasn't in the top 10 prospects on Wednesday's podcast? How far has his stock fallen? I'll take this one. Baez is actually not qualified as a prospect anymore. So he was up with the Cubs long enough to lose his prospect and his rookie status. I think his stock it probably has fallen some. He would still definitely be in that top 10. But even though his stock has maybe fallen, he's still got a lot of potential and he's a desirable player. And that's why we're seeing him in some trade rumors, like with the Mets. So,
yes,
that's my answer. Anything you guys have to add to that?
Nope. You knocked it out of the park.
Nailed it.
All right. Ed says, what are your guys' thoughts on JD? He's really grown on me the last couple of years.
I'd have to agree. No, I do really like JD.
Me too.
And in fact, today I texted you guys. He was talking about in Chase Field, there's that like private box right behind home plate, and all the guys sitting in it were wearing fedoras. And he said, he said something to Lynn like, that looks like it needs to be a photo caption contest. And I was just, oh, it was so awesome to hear him say photo caption contest on the air. I mean, he wasn't talking about us, but right. in my head he was. But no, I really like JD. He's funny, he's goofy, and smart all at the same time.
Okay, so I'm looking in the chat, and they're kind of talking about broadcasters and stuff in there. And actually, one of them brought up one of the things that's kind of annoyed me. Jason from New Mexico brought up one of the things that's kind of annoying me about Pat Hughes, and that's that he always talks how everything feels like a turning point. He brings that up a lot, and I know it's very minor, but anytime it's like, you know, if there's a runner on second, it's a turning point. And then also Jeremy says that, he had the hoodie on all weekend in Arizona, and it was in the mid to high 90s or 80s. I'm sorry, 80s.
Maybe they had the air conditioning on with the roof open.
sweat it out.
I'm not going to enter a conversation that's putting Pat down.
I'm just saying, like, it's kind of those. He's relied on that a lot this year, and
maybe he's just done.
And that's kind of what I was thinking. Is like, I wonder if the dynamics aren't different enough that he's just not completely comfortable and kind of, I don't know. I really hope that nobody listening to this thinks that I don't like Pat Hughes, because that's absolutely not the case. I want to clarify that. I want to clarify that.
You hate him.
But back to Ed's question, I think JD is hilarious. I really enjoy, and I love it. I think I love it more when he makes a joke and I know that it's a joke, but I don't get it. Like, I find that even more funny than the jokes I get. Mike says, I coach a little league team and with my father-in-law, who is a Cardinals fan. Any ideas on a compromised team to be? So I guess they get to choose what the name of their team is.
I kind of thought that it would be like a team they could both root for among big league teams.
Maybe.
I see what you're saying.
Oh, to be though, you're right. Like, maybe they are deciding on a moniker for the little league team.
Let's do it both ways. So, what should they name their team, and then what would be a team that Cubs and Cardinals fans could agree on to kind of like root for? Oh, I like that question. I don't know if that's what he meant, but I like it.
I have a. I would vote. Well, he wouldn't like this, though. Never mind. I'm going to have to rethink this. I'm going to go. I was going to say Royals, but Cardinals.
Oh, no.
So I'd go Twins. Huh. Who doesn't like the Twins? I mean, nobody really loves the Twins, but nobody hates the Twins.
I don't like Torii Hunter, though.
Well, yeah. If you want to stay Midwest, an AL team like the Tigers or the Twins might be the way to go. But I would advocate just go outside of the Midwest and find a NL or AL team outside of the Midwest.
Yeah, but Midwest people don't want to pick a coast team.
Well, I mean, what about the Mariners?
I've got your answer. Tell me what you guys think about this. I think they go with Astros because it used to be an NL Central team, but now they're not. And I think it's a really fun and interesting team to pay attention to.
Okay, I can get behind that.
Yeah, I'd put maybe Astros second to my previous Twins vote. I still like the Twins.
I don't know. I'm sticking with my answer, Astros.
Yeah.
Twins.
Astros.
Twins. 2-1. Sorry, Kurt.
Nope.
There it is, Mike. Astros. Answer to both of your questions.
Banana slugs.
Nick from Wisconsin says, I see Rizzo as a leader the way Jeter was portrayed in New York, only less douchey and a better human being in general. Thoughts/comments.
Again, I'd have to agree. I love that guy.
It's hard not to like Rizzo and what he does in the community, and overall just comes across as a pretty good guy.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, you kind of talked about this, Kurt. It's just been a lot of fun to watch Rizzo emerge as a leader at such a young age. He's not a Yankee, so I don't know if he'll ever be portrayed like Jeter was. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a reason that the Cubs front office, specifically Jed Hoyer, has taken Rizzo everywhere he's gone. Mm-hmm. We know that this front office values some of that. What's the term I'm looking for? Oh my gosh, the word just flew out of my head.
The example that he sets, or
yeah, I mean, like high quality people.
Sure,
you know
sure.
What I'm trying to say.
But isn't it kind of fun that he used to be like the most dangerous player on the team, but he might not be anymore?
Right. I think that makes him more interesting.
Yeah.
Oh boy, but he still is at this point. I mean.
I don't know. I mean, what about today when, it's the top of the ninth and the Cubs are trying to come back? I think Rizzo has a weak at bat, but Bryant, just crushes a ball to center field that's barely caught.
I agree that there is more balance in the lineup, but I think he still stands out as the clutch hitter.
I guess my qualification of that statement stands is he might, might not be.
Right. He's not always. Right. The only clutch.
Whereas before he always was.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, he was just going to get pitched around in those situations before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like you pointed out, the fact that they've traded for him and early on, when he was at the Padres and he came up and he wasn't really that good and, you knew he could be good. And now to see how good he really is.
Yeah.
I hope people realize his season this year is just amazing.
Yeah.
So far, and I don't, who knows what he'll do the rest of the year, but I think he'll keep it up, and damn, he's good.
Yep.
I saw some commenters compare Soler struggling with breaking balls to the way that Rizzo struggled with breaking balls initially in his career.
Yeah, and for everybody freaking out, Rizzo versus lefties, there's your... evidence that it can change for a young guy pretty quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jeremy, who I've been talking about, he's in the chat right now. He said, I hate losing to the D-backs almost as much as I hate losing to the Cardinals. I'm not crazy, right? I'm not crazy.
No, because that's where he lives.
Right.
Makes sense. Like if I lived down there, it would drive me crazy too, but
that's why we hate the Cardinals as much as we do.
Right. Yeah. I think that has a lot to, if you're surrounded by Diamondbacks fans, you hate to see your team go out there and lose a series to them.
But I got to be honest, from sea to shining sea, like seeing them lose a little bit to the Diamondbacks doesn't affect me as much just since I don't live in that area.
Yeah, it's not in my top list of people that there are teams that really make me mad.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. They're also asking in the chat why I have this Expos hat back here. And that was a gift from Ian from Montreal. And
yeah. Well, Ian's story was that he was an Expos fan, and then the Expos left town, so he became a Cubs fan.
Right. Yes.
So that's a, just emblematic of newfound Cubs fandom, really.
And it's a really awesome hat. Like, it is one of my favorite MLB hats.
Yeah, I know. If it wasn't flat bill and a 5950, I'd wear it.
And that's why I love the Smokies hat so much, because it's got the same style, the white with the red and the blue.
Yeah. Benjamin says, which is more off-putting, Chris Bryant's mohawk mullet or the fact he is constantly licking his fingers? I love the guy, but do these things bug anyone else? All right, I'll make a confession. Since I already made my Pat Hughes confession that came off sounding way worse than it really is. When I was probably like junior high age, I had a finger-licking thing. What?
Was it because you were eating KFC all the time?
No.
Oh, no.
I think it was... Okay. It started off as we played football. I played football a lot. You know, like backyard football and stuff like that. And like in the fall, like my hands would always dry out. And I was quarterback a lot of the time. Oh. And so I licked my fingers just to keep my, you know, fingers...
Tacky.
Yeah. And I think I'd probably seen real quarterbacks do it or whatever. And so I was like, oh, that makes sense. You know, and so I started doing it. Well, then like I got into the habit of doing it. Like if my fingers didn't have that like tacky feel to it, like it, like I had to do it all the time. Not all the time. Not like I was like always licking my...
changing a diaper.
You just had your hand in your mouth.
I'm saying like when I was in junior high. So I kind of like got into, like my hands always felt dry if like my fingertips weren't wet. So I like licked my fingers a lot. I didn't like lick my fingers. It's more like you tap your fingers on your tongue, you know?
So you love the fact that Chris Bryant licks his fingers.
To be honest, I hadn't noticed it.
I hadn't either.
I hadn't either.
I noticed the mohawk.
Either. Right.
I had not noticed the finger licking.
Well, a lot of ball players lick their fingers. Mostly, you know, I mean, of course, pitchers.
Right. Pitchers do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had not noticed it at all. But the mohawk mullet, I'm pretty indifferent about.
Yeah, I guess I just realized that I'm like far too old to critique hairstyles.
So. I was just gonna say, the older I get, the less.
I mean that the his haircut bothers me less than players having their back pocket hanging out. I still like. I mean, I'm over it. I'm not gonna like do like an old man rant about it.
Join the best fans in baseball. Then.
I'm not gonna have like an old man rant about it. I just don't understand how that became a thing. It doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Or the long pants, like kind of over the back of their cleats. I don't get that either. I don't either. It's just, you know, it's old. Oh, they came up with an episode title in the chat. Corey hates Pat's finger licking Gold Coast Bank.
That's about it.
Well, thanks for taking away a text message we were going to have later.
Usually it's like 10 seconds after we end it. Episode title?
I know, because I realize we should have figured that out. Johnny says, where are your guys' seats for the August 8th bus trip? I have tickets to that game on a family reunion, and I want to show my wife the reason why I sit in my car for 10 minutes, because I need to finish listening to whatever topic you guys are discussing. I don't know. That may hurt your cause, Johnny. If you're like, yeah, it's those guys. She's going to be like, what?
Look at those deadbeats over there. Those are the reasons.
I want to hear what those guys have to say.
That guy is falling asleep, and it's the sixth inning.
And he's not even drunk. He's just old.
Say like two.
The other guy's sitting there licking his fingers.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Only you can answer this question,
Corey. Well, to be honest, I don't know. We have infield reserve tickets, so it's kind of like under the upper deck usually. I have not received the tickets yet, and so I don't know. I really don't know. But
I would say pay attention to Twitter, and we'll tweet it out.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, Johnny, like, if you don't hear us say anything about it, I would say in the next like month or so, shoot me an email. and we can figure out how to connect up that day. I think we're going to go up fairly. It's a 3 o'clock game. Before what we've done is like for the 1 or the noon games, we've gone up really early. And then we've waited longer for the 3 o'clock games. But I think what we'll do this time, but you know, those buses just move slower and it's just a, you know, it ends up taking a little bit longer than you think just because the bus and navigating Wrigleyville and everything. So, I think what we'll do is we'll head up earlier this year than we normally do just to make sure everybody's got time to hit the shops that they want and the bars and everything. So there are still, a few tickets available for the bus trip. So, we're going up on August 8th. We rented a charter bus, leaving from Moline, Illinois. We're also going to stop at the DeKalb Oasis on 88. And so, if you maybe live in that area and you would like to join us, get a hold of me, and we can try to work something out. But it's a lot of fun. It's, you know, it's a 56 passenger bus and we, do things like Cubs trivia on the way up. We watch, we'll probably watch Rookie of the Year again because that's fun. And I think there's going to be a couple kids on the bus, so they'll probably enjoy that. Sometimes we've watched like historical Cubs games, you know, like the Sandberg game, things like that. So if the bus trip is something that you're interested in, you can email me, Corey@IVMV.com for any information. And also you can go to IVMV.com/bus. It's a lot of fun, and we'd love to have you on the bus. I'm excited because, like, Ryan Shores from one of our associate producers is flying up from Florida for it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of new people on the bus this year, a lot of listeners, so that should be fun. And I say a lot of listeners because traditionally it's been a lot of the people that we know and things like that that are in the Quad Cities, but... this year it's a lot of people that listen to the podcast, so that should be a lot of fun. Mike, who is at LeoSammy2134 on Twitter, says Madden didn't rule out Schwarber with the Cubs this season. Where do you see everyone playing, assuming Baez will be here too?
Boy, it's a roster problem for sure. Baez is, at least. I don't see Schwarber up this year.
I don't think so either. I mean, it wouldn't shock me. And we kind of talked about this on that midweek episode where we talked about the top prospects. But I think if the Cubs are going to decide that he's not going to be a catcher, that decision will be made soon. I think it would be made in the next couple months. I think if he's still catching by the end of the year and starting out next year as a catcher, then I think that's what their plan is for him.
Right, because he could break camp next year going to Iowa as a catcher.
Well, I mean, he could go to Iowa. If they give up on him being a catcher, he can go to Iowa now.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So if he stays there, like you just said, that's kind of your tell.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean like today he should go to Iowa, but I'm saying like in the next month or so. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of proven that his bat is, as a batter, he's doing quite well in Double-A.
But I do think they're going to try to keep him at catcher as long as they can until something shows that he can't.
Right. Peter, who is at PBread20 on Twitter, says, do you think Baez is playing for a spot on the team or for a trade? I think he's just playing. He's just
playing. Yeah. Wow, we just said it at the same time. Nice. Yeah. I don't think he wants to be traded, but... there's not a lot of room in the middle infield.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you do move Chris Bryant to left field, then you've got some options in the infield and you've got some pieces you can kind of move around and stuff. But I don't think Baez is, I mean, obviously I'm sure he's thinking about it, but if I'm Baez, I'm thinking my goal is to be in the major leagues and that's where I need to be. And I need to be playing well enough to get a good contract to support, you know, my family and to be able to never have to work again when I'm done with baseball. That's where my head would be if I was Javi, but I wouldn't say he's playing for a trade. That would kind of surprise me, I guess. Curtis is at Curtis Steiner on Twitter, and he says, are the Cubs the dreamiest team in baseball? And then we were tweeted back by the Cubs, who tweeted a gif of Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant being particularly dreamy in the dugout. So I enjoyed that, that the Cubs weighed in on this question. yeah, they're pretty dreamy, I guess.
Yeah.
Kurt sure thinks so.
I do.
As long as Rizzo's in the picture.
Yeah, it used to be Soler, but I've moved on.
If you shop on Amazon.com, you can help support the podcast by going to IVMV.com and clicking on the Amazon link. Amazon gives us a percentage of their profits from your purchase. Doesn't cost you anything extra, and it helps us keep this podcast going. Kurt, why don't you give us our scary stat of the week?
Well, before we move on, I wanted to throw in something that I omitted in a previous scary stat about Rizzo's on-base percentage against lefties. I think, it was crazy high, but what I failed to mention is the fact that his on-base percentage is so high against lefties is that he's actually, his batting average is .452 against lefties. So I thought I'd sprinkle that in. Because I focused solely on his on-base percentage, and I completely glazed over the fact that he's hitting .452 against lefties, which is just absolutely incredible.
Okay, I have not heard that stat, and I'm going to have to check that because I kind of don't believe it.
Yeah, no, it seems fake.
Well, and against righties, it's two something. Yeah, it seems fake, but
I don't know. I'm checking up on you, so go ahead.
Right, well, go Google it while I give you the actual scary stat for this week. And I'll start by saying, I really enjoy day baseball. It's kind of a Cubs thing, They've held on to the day baseball thing, but I'm going to give you a little stat that might make you rethink that. So far this season, and when I typed this up, this excluded today's game, but I'm going to try to wing it and include today's game because it was a day game. But the Cubs have played now 18 day games and 25 night games. In day games, and this again was previous to today, their winning percentage was .470, and they were 8-9. So after today's game, they're now 8-10 in day games. Night games, they are .640, which is 16-9 record. Their batting average in day games is .215. In night games, it's .262. And in day games, they're scoring 3.5 runs per game. Night games, .488 runs per game. Home runs per night game is .58, and home runs per... home runs per day game is .58. Home runs per night game is 1.24. So this team is drastically better at night, perhaps given their age, and they like to party. I'd like to see a few more night games if this trend continues, because they aren't performing too well during the day. And today was another example of that when they lost.
Huh. Okay, Kurt, you were right.
452.
Yeah. And let's go back, just a couple of years. In 2013, his batting average against left-handed pitchers was .189.
Yeah.
Wow.
Last year was
.452.
Last year was an even .300.
Which is amazing for a whole year.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying the chat room tonight, by the way. There's a lot of people, and it's kind of fun. And I lost it. Hold on. Let me look. Dan said next Patreon goal, money for Corey to get one of those new Tesla home chargers. So you probably won't be able to tell this in the edited version of this episode, but I lost. We had a storm come through, and I lost my power mid-sentence. So. Okay, so internet, I've been looking forward to this segment so much today. Oh, I found some great internet muscle flexes that I'm very excited about.
I've got one too.
Andy, do you have one?
I don't have one tonight.
Oh, okay. How about, let's see, Kurt, how about if I'll give one, then you can do one, then I'll do one.
Okay. Sound all right? I just have this one. It's kind of long, but I do have just one.
Okay, so both of mine came from Cubs Instagram. This first one, there's a picture of, I think three ladies, and they're holding up, and it's from the Arizona series, I believe, and they're holding up a sign that says hashtag we are good. And this commenter says, why is there a hashtag on their poster? Can people at the game physically touch it and see links to other posters?
Oh, man. Well, I have one, too, also from Cub Instagram. This is a little bit older, but this came from a photo of, like, pretty much half the team in the gas lamp district in San Diego. And this comment is about Chris Bryant. Well, like, a lot of players were in this, but this is, you know, about Chris. And this person says, the reason why he was dehydrated was because he was getting wasted by alcohol the night before. We need to trade him before he goes full blow Josh Hamilton on us. Yes, full blow. Nice 4 home runs in 37 games. I thought he was a power hitter. The guy doesn't respect the game. When I played the game, I played hard. And then he follows up with his, you know, he's reacting to other people. And then also he says, can you say Josh Hamilton with this lush drunk? We should have been out. He should have been out there today, and he blew it off. Trade this guy now, Theo. And then he says another, later he says, I never in my life heard of a player cop out of a game due to dehydration. Drinking to excess causes that. You will never see Rizzo take himself out of a game because he's not a party animal, and he's very professional.
That
all came after Bryant coming out of the game early for, I guess, dehydration because he drinks too much. Lush.
Dang.
That guy was pretty pissed.
So I don't even know where to start with that thing. I'm just not even going to say anything.
Well, I mean, that's obvious. You just have to trade him.
Right, right. He's going to go full blow Josh Hamilton.
Full blow.
There's only one thing that leads to dehydration, too.
Right.
I don't know what Josh Hamilton's drug of choice is, but Bryant's right behind him.
Gosh.
Coke or something.
Oh, my gosh. People.
All right. Close this out. Corey.
Okay. So this is a picture on. Okay. So the Cubs posted this picture. There's a girl. I'm going to hold it up here. This is to the camera. I don't know if you guys can you see that? There's a girl. She maybe it looks like she's about 7, 8 years old.
She's cute.
Yeah, nice little girl. She's holding up a sign that says Chris Bryant's biggest fan and an arrow pointing down at her. You know, a nice thing. So here's what this commenter says. And this is someone that has the name Pastor in their Instagram handle. Physically, she is not his biggest fan, as I probably outweigh her 5-1. Emotionally, her adolescent mind couldn't possibly appreciate his physical ability, his eye at the plate, or his above-average defensive skills. So if I had to guess, it would be that her being Bryant's biggest fan is erroneous. Just my thoughts.
That's crazy. Like 7 year olds are stupid.
I mean, he owned that poster.
Right. Yeah. If I had to guess, it would be that her being Bryant's biggest fan is erroneous. Just my thoughts.
That's called winning right there.
And he outweighs her 5-1.
Hashtag winning.
Emotionally, her adolescent mind couldn't possibly appreciate his physical ability. Oh, my God. Oh, man. All right.
Well, I will say, I did want to point out the fact that, like, traditional Cubs.com posting has really fallen off.
So yeah.
You have to go to other means, like Instagram and Facebook, to get the real gems.
Yeah.
I actually ran into a string of posts complaining about the lack of community in the Cubs.com posts. So,
oh, really?
That was pretty funny.
Huh.
So, yeah, the old school guys that used to comment on everything, they seem to have disappeared. I don't know if that's because the Cubs are good now or what. But
right. I don't think they moved to Instagram. I don't think they were an Instagram group. Well, this week's episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon contributors. A special thanks to our Hall of Fame level contributors, Jeremy, Dave, Dizzle, David, Jeremy, Dallas, Charles, Steven, Stewart, Guy, Peter, Jane, Cass, Tony, Shane, Michael, John, Craig, Rick, Luke, and Tony. Our associate producers are Matthew Mazur, Anthony Hutfels, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Tim Marr, Jason in New Mexico, and the Quad City's own Jason Nunn. We'd like to thank Peter from Bloomer, Wisconsin, and our friend Bob from Moline for jumping on the Patreon campaign this week. We really appreciate it. Patreon is how we pay our bills, and it's how we've been able to improve this podcast here recently with some of the things we've introduced. It's allowed us to create the iOS app, the Android app, which is on its way. Patreon is the reason that we do the Daily Northside Recap, which is a separate podcast that I do that recaps the previous day's games in the Cubs organization, which, by the way, because Monday is Memorial Day, there will be no episode on Monday. But Patreon has also helped us on the back end a lot with hosting and equipment upgrades. We paid for everything with Ivy Envy out of our pockets for years, and now through Patreon, we don't have to do that anymore. And although it's still a hobby for us, we would like to thank all of you that contribute for keeping Ivy Envy going. If you feel like you receive something of value out of this podcast, please consider jumping on the Patreon campaign. We would love to bring more improvements to Ivy Envy and do more things to enhance everyone's Ivy Envy experience. Pledging levels start at just $1 a month. That's pretty much pocket change, but it really does help us tremendously. You can check out the campaign and all of the perks at patreon.com/IVNV. That's patreon.com/IVNV. So the Cubs return to Wrigley for a series with the Nationals starting on Monday. Andy and I will be back on Wednesday night with our midweek episode, and we'll be talking about that series and anything else that comes up in the world of the Cubs. And until then, go Cubs!